All right. So everyone online can hear me, and I'm going to share the screen. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Hi, Neve. Let's get this sharing going. Why is this not working? Okay, online, you guys can see the screen. Okay, there we go.
Oh no, is this just gone?
Oh gosh, all the times for my screen to disappear. Sorry guys online, my screen here in person has just dropped, which is great. And then I've lost my little Apple remote. Typical that it would happen right now. Here it is. Okay. Oh, I don't know why that went on. So strange. Sorry for those online. Okay. So here we go. It's just reloading. There we go, thank goodness. All right, we're live. We got it going. All right, so welcome. We've got a few people online. You guys can see them here at the bottom. Say hi. You've got a room full of people as well, those of you online. All right, so here is our introduction. So welcome, welcome to this course. It's really great to have so many of you joining me on this in person and online. The big things in this that I thought I would start with was a paradox, really, the end of the beginning. And that's the thing about astrology. There doesn't seem to be an end to it. You just constantly learn. You're constantly learning to connect. Equally, when you're working on yourself through your chakras, the wheels of life, it's a constant evolution. And the way I like to look at things is it's in a spiral rather than in a circle. Spirals go up and spirals go down, okay? And so the questions I would love to ask you are, how well do you know yourself? Okay, how often do you elevate your perception, your perspective of what it is that you're looking at, of what it is you're dealing with? how often do you pause and kind of say, can I look at this in a different way? And how curious are you to commune with the energy that you engage with, that you embody? How curious are you about that? A lot of people, well, I think if you're all here, you're curious. There are a lot of people who are just very happy to live the way it is. So sometimes when we find ourselves in those curious moments, we bring ourselves into these situations where we're seeking to learn a little bit more. And that's hopefully what I can offer you today. So obviously this 9-week course provides you an introduction to the elements in particular, earth, fire, water, and air. Also connecting to the planets of your chart, and the chakras. And what we'll do is piece them together so that you can really understand how this energy plays out. Firstly, within yourself, regardless of whether you understand how to read the charts that you've got there or not, but also to look at your chart and to be able to decode it to an extent. Okay, so you don't have to have it with you right now, but if you do online, I know the people here in person have it, but if you have your chart, it's good to have it at the end. We're going to be able to look at the charts that I sent you so that you can see if you can kind of read where your rising is and all of that by the end of this class. All right, so a good quote to start us off. Astrology is a language, and if you understand this language, the sky speaks to you. And so Dane Rudyard is a very renowned astrologer, ancient astrologer, that really introduced a lot of these concepts to us. He was very big on the wheel of life, or the cycles of life as well, through the Celtic wheel, you know, that we would do a lot of ceremonies in. I'd like to extend this and add that it's not just the sky that speaks to you. Everything starts to speak to you when you start to understand that moments carry a birth chart, okay? Every single engagement that you have carries a birth chart, okay? Because yes, you're taking a snapshot of the sky and that's giving you your birth chart that you have, but equally it's the energy that is going on in that moment that you've engaged with. And so it's not just looking up and looking out, it's actually looking within and looking to the connections that you're constantly making. Right? So remember, perception is everything. This one is a little bit of an ode to the blue rose as well. I'm going to just move us over here. The blue rose is the school of astrology that I come from with Andrew Smith and Karen Morgan. And their biggest thing is to remember this is all coded within our own cellular memory somewhere in there. And so it's really just a matter of returning to ourselves. To know yourself is just to reacquaint yourself with yourself. And that is equal to each and every individual, because we all perceive ourselves differently and we perceive this journey differently, and each of us are right. And so that's why these little diagrams are always fun to look at. How do you perceive the figure of eight on the floor? And you can see how each of them have a different interpretation. The number, infinity, a wave, a spiral of DNA. And so what I prompt for you to do, and very, very much what we've been doing with all of the Libra work that we've had in ceremony lately, is to inhale a reflection of awe. So as you inhale, you're allowing this sense of awe to come to you, because who's to say what it is? Is it a number eight, or is it, a spiral of the DNA? And then I thought I would tell a brief story about Plato's analogy of the cave. I'm sure some of you have heard it before, but it's a really good a good way of looking at perception and just allowing us to become more curious. Okay, so Plato's analogy, allegory of the cave, is basically, as the little diagram presents here, you can see that in here, you've got a few people, there's three people that were chained to a wall in a cave, and they're just looking forward at a blank cave, okay? And each of them have a different angle that they're looking at. And from behind them, there is a fire, but between them and the fire, there's a wall, and various things cross along this wall or this bridge. And the fire that's behind that projects shadows onto whatever they can see, this wall in front of them, the wall of the cave. And so their perception is of these shadows that are playing out on the wall. And they believe it to be real. And they start to create this game of how they spend their life, because they know nothing other than this cave. This is all they've been taught. This is their education, what is projected on this cave. And so the game that they have in their reality is, what's going to come up next? What's going to show up on this, you know, projection, the shadows? What are they? And they create this journey that they go on. Anyway, one of the prisoners is set free, okay? And so makes their way out all the way up into daylight, all right? And at first, the sun, the brightness of the sun hurts their eyes. It's painful. And so they really want to go back into what they know, into the comfort of their cave, and to understand that that's actually just all I need right now. Out there is too bright and too much, and it hurts my eyes. But someone comes along and really helps bring them along, maybe even drags them all the way out and says, just follow me, come. And so they're brought all the way out into the reality where you've got sunlight and you've got trees and you haven't got shadows or projections. And so when this person, the one of the prisoners that got free, when they get to go up into the reality, or is that reality? Is that the end of it? They experience what truth is, and that they see that what they believed to be their reality was not so, and that there is more to it, and that the fire wasn't the source of anything. It was a projection. It was enabling a projection. And that the sunlight out in the real world was offering an expansive perception on the reality that he was able to engage with. Anyway, so he goes on and he expands his life, and he becomes this philosopher where he's able to tell more stories about reality. And he decides one day, when he's learned as much as he can, to go back to the cave to visit his friends and to share this wisdom with his friends. Now, at first, his friends are terrified of this outsider. You know, they don't even recognize their friend anymore. And they don't want to go with him. They don't want to be freed. And they'd rather kill their friend than be freed, because they are terrified of what it is that he's telling. They don't believe him to be the truth, because they believe what they have in their cave. And so the interesting story around this Plato's allegory of the cave is that it gives us an opportunity to understand how people perceive. And who's to say that the guy who got free and was able to look at the sun and the sky and outside of the cave, who's to say that that's the end? Who's to say that's the roof? Okay, so it's just to say that there are levels to perception, and not one is necessarily right. But it's good to be curious, and it's good to have that philosophical perspective on how we all engage with our reality. And so with that, we exhale a projection of gratitude, because it's our projection, it's what we see. Okay. So everything is symbolism, and that's a big part of what we're going to be looking at in this course. Symbolism will be found in each of the elements, in each of the colors that you will link to each of the elements, within the houses, within the chakras. Everything is a symbolic interpretation that I ask you during this course to really get involved with, to whether you like to take notes in a journal or on your phone. Compile a library of symbolism, even if it's just in your head, because that will start to allow you to relate and expand your perception a little bit further. So a few of the things that we've got here: there are 8 billion perspectives out there. Every single person has a different perspective. And so each one is relating to their conditioning, to their experience that they've had in life, and to the memories that they're holding on to. Okay, and so that's a big part of what I said by remember. Remember what it is that you're holding on to. Are you holding on to something that has been given to you in the past few years? Or are you able to expand your memory, go beyond into the astral realm, into that plane of existence that connects us much further? After all, we're starting with space. So we're going beyond this reality today and opening up that opportunity to go beyond the limitations. Sacred geometry is, these are beautiful images by Robert Edward Grant. I find his work really fascinating, how he's linking sacred geometry. He's a polymath, so he links a lot of geometry with ancient culture. He's really starting to tie in astrology as well, and just making connections to things. So when you see sacred geometry, you'll start to see that it's all just patterns and numbers and maths, and everything's connected in one way or the other. They all just have different equations and different ways of playing out their energy pattern, their energy signature. And so instead of looking at things as a polarity, as in one versus the other, that you've got like a plus and a minus, a negative and a positive, you start to see things as a duality, that they both exist. And so I had a friend recently I was chatting with, and he showed me how his head was working. He was getting to a point with his the work that he was doing. And he said, I know I might sound really mad. And so he had his like mad here, like crazy. He was like, maybe people will think I'm losing my mind. But he said, I'm also feeling like I'm on the verge of an incredible, you know, breakthrough in the work that I'm doing. And so instead of looking at it as this line, he bent it into a curve. And he said, this is where I am. That is exactly it. That is how the world is. Just because you feel fear doesn't mean that in a moment's breath, you're on the other side of empowerment, because you've gone through that fear. So that's what Pluto teaches us, you know? So fear and empowerment are the two key themes that Pluto offers us. And so that's how we will look at all of the energies that we will play with in this course. Triality and unity. Triality would be one that I like to use, particularly when I did a lot of in-depth study with the chakras. There wasn't just like, you know, the seven chakras, there seemed to be like a connection of the three energies, you know, whether it was looking at yoga and you've got the Ida, Pingala and Sushumna. So they've got the yin, the yang and the central column. It's this play of three energies that allows us to have yang, outward, cardinal, yin, inward, fixed, and a central column, which is constantly stable or constantly moving. It depends on how you want to see it. And so that's where I would always say, look at it from a three point, rather than just duality. There's always three ways of looking at things, I think. And the big thing that I'm gonna ask you guys to do with at the end of each of these classes is to really check in with your senses. And the funny thing is, when we check in with our senses, it's our perception. So we're going back to that Plato's allegory of the cave. And he said, what you perceive with your senses isn't always necessarily the truth. So that's just to further throw you into the abyss. As I said, we're working with space today. And so that really throws us into a void. Okay. And to really understand that everything is on a spectrum, your perception, your vision, your senses, it's all on a spectrum. Oops, we've done that one. So trying to define yourself is like trying to bite your own teeth. I shared that on Instagram yesterday. I thought I would just throw that in there. Quite possibly one of my most favorite quotes, because it helps you, especially for someone like me. I go down rabbit holes on a daily basis. And after a while, you have to get to a point where you have to say, okay, I don't have to get to the end of this. I don't have to have something that completely solidifies my understanding and meaning of life. And in that moment, that's where we get to that understanding that in space, we have the all-knowing unknown, which is this paradox of bliss, okay? And we have the unseen connection to everything, which is void. And so this is where we get to this point where it's like, you can't define what space is, right? You can't confine it. You can't limit it to something. You can't even limit it to your own perception. It's got to be constantly expansive and constantly reaching and growing and evolving. And so space doesn't necessarily have a quality like the other elements, but it holds everything. So space knows everything, but we don't know it. And it also doesn't know itself. And so that is the paradox of bliss, in that you get to a point of accepting that you'll never really define anything. And in that space of not defining anything, you find acceptance and bliss. And samadhi, this like moment of just contentment, being in that. And so that is where we start our elemental journey, because without space, nothing else can be held, okay? And so what's interesting about space, what we're gonna talk about, is space being the full connection to everything. It starts here with space. And then if you have any words yourselves that you connect to space, it's not just space as in the universe, the stars. Yes, that is space, and it's expansive and it's ever growing. Like, you know, any scientists and cosmologists, they're constantly remapping and mapping and growing their understanding and perception of what's out there. But equally, you've got biologists and people who are focusing deeply within and how far the cell goes and the area of space that surrounds the atom. And that in itself is also expansive and never ending. And so that's what space is. Okay. From space, though, from this ether that connects everything, what we will be looking at is an overview of what space is offering us. And for this course, we're looking at the houses today, the 12 spaces of a chart that connect us to arenas within our life. You've got the chakras. So they're the wheels of energy that connect us to our body, physical body, to our emotions, our emotional state, our mental processes, and to the spirit that we have been born. The energetic blueprint that we've been born with is all encoded in the energy that we project and connect with through our chakras. And then time and space is really open to interpretation. but we will look at our courses charts today, and on just to have a look at what time and space can be confined into in the picture of our birth chart. Okay, and when we get to looking at the chart of today for this moment, what it will also offer us is a picture of the transit of energy that's going on now, and you'll be able to see where that is on your own chart. Okay, and so that's how astrology evolves. We won't be touching on that really for this introduction, but that's how, as an astrologer, if you come for consultation, you start to look at how the energy that's moving at the moment connects to your chart and how your energy is engaging with the energy at play. And that's how we start to see time and space playing together. Okay. So we've got the spaces, the houses. So you can see here, you've got house 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way around 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 houses. And so I'm sure some of you can gather from my website and my Instagram handle, 12th space relates to the 12 houses, the 12 spaces on a chart, okay? And so the 12 spaces on an astrological birth chart, or in a moment, a capture of time, each of them relates to a different arena, a different experience, okay? When looking at your chart, we always start at this point here, which is called the rising moment, okay? It's the first house. This first house, or rising moment, is where the sun is rising at this moment, at that very moment in time. Okay, it's not necessarily rising as in as we see it. It could be in the middle, in the evening at 7 o'clock, and it's not necessarily that it's rising, but it's where the sun is in that moment or entrance point. And so when we look at the rising sign in your own chart, it becomes the face how you face the world, how you enter the world. And that's why a birth time is really helpful, because it gives you a good idea as to how you're going to face the world. I'll go into it a little bit more in depth in a moment. If you don't have your exact birth time, I know there are a few people who don't have their exact times and things like that. Don't get too hung up about it, okay? Because we, you know, the other lectures are going to be very much based on the elemental quality and then the planets. So it's just really this first lecture where we go into each of the houses. So don't get too hung up about it if you haven't got that exact time, and therefore you won't be able to map the exact house system. But as you can see here, I've left just the first six houses firstly. So the first house all the way through to the sixth house. And what that offers you is, this is you, okay? The first lower half of the chart is very much just about you, your connection, okay? And then the top part of the house, of the chart, connects the houses to everything else, you and everything else, all right? So if we think of it like this, the first house is I am, okay? The seventh house is I pair. I match with something else, somebody else, one other, okay? And so we start to create this axis of the houses where they are paired with the first, the seventh, the second, the eighth, the third, and the ninth, and so on. And so you can see here, I am is the first house. So the first house is your presence, the face that you wear when you walk into a room, okay? It's the first impression that when you meet somebody else, you are greeted with their rising sign, with their first house. And so the first house becomes your coping mechanisms. It's your default persona that you fall into with ease. So if you think about it, if you're faced with a challenging situation, even though maybe it's your Saturn, which we will get to, or your Mars, your outward expression of energy that wants to engage, no matter what, you automatically go back into your first house reaction. And so a lot of us will talk about our sun sign. You know, when people look up their zodiac and, you know, they're just getting into astrology, it's like, oh yes, I'm a Taurus. I really relate to that. It's like, no, I don't really relate to that on everything, because maybe your rising sign is different. And so when you look at your rising sign, which I've given most of you guys your rising sign, you're able to say, ah, maybe the rising sign tells me a lot more about how I approach things, how I greet things head on. Okay. It also relates to your appearance as well. A lot of the rising sign or the first house energy will relate to how the person is appearing, okay? So if I go with myself as a Gemini rising, I'm reaming off a load of words to you, ta-da! And I come across chatty, flighty. I have that lightness of the Gemini quality to my energy. And so a lot of people would assume I'm Gemini, when in fact I'm more Taurus. The more you get to know me, you see more of the Taurus energy coming out. Okay, so it's it plays like that. But then you've also got your moon. So your moon will also engage with that and every other planet. And so when we look back at the houses here, I am the house of awareness of self. Okay, and let's pair that with the seventh house, the awareness of another. Okay, and so you start to see how the seventh house is your projection, your connection to somebody else, a partner, whoever you're married to, a best friend, person you work really closely with. It's generally just a one other person. So when you engage with somebody else, let's call it your life partner, your best friend, your work partner, that's the seventh house, okay? And it relates to how you share your awareness of self and other. It's also your projection. So what you're not seeing within yourself, you're often projecting onto another person. So just as we started, this whole thing was with a perspective of how you see the world. It's often thrown into your seventh house, how your projection is given back to you. If you don't see it in yourself, it's shown to you in another. When we start to look at the second house and the eighth house, The second house is I have, okay? It's your personal resources. So this is very much to do with your possessions, your bodily skills, what you have in your body, what you're born with. It also relates to your earning power, your finances, to money, what you value, how you hold on to things. Okay. And then when we look at the eighth house, it's how you take what you have and exchange it with another. So we're going up into the eighth house. So you exchange it with another, and then how that is renewed, how that is transformed, how that energy that you have is shared with another, and then that transforms, creates this alchemy process. And then that gives you a new form of energy. It births something totally different. And so that's shared resources, and where you're starting to engage with that merging with another person. Okay. And then the third house and the ninth house, the third house is how you connect to your immediate reality, mentally, generally, how you connect and chat with people, how you perceive, how you hear, how you connect with your family, your siblings generally, not necessarily your parents, but how you connect with your neighbors, those who are immediately within your early connections, okay? So it also relates to school, how you faced school life, early life, childhood, those forms of communication, that early development of the mental process. And so then when we look to the ninth house, it's this further development of our mental processing, how we expand into our belief systems and our philosophies, our personal philosophies, how we subscribe to the philosophies that are out there, how we want to journey and venture and explore the realm, the mental realm, how we like to explore and travel, even going on holidays, how we like to travel, okay? And so before I go any further, you can see the little symbols here just to explain to you. With I am, you've got Aries. Aries is the beginning of the zodiac, okay? This little symbol here in red, and it's ruled by Mars, okay? And so these have very similar qualities. They are not all the exact same. It's not, I don't like cookie cutter astrology where you say, oh, first house, Aries and Mars, all the same blanket right across the way, and it's not. But they have very similar traits. It's like your presence, your awareness, first on the scene, Aries, okay? And so each of that's, we'll get into this a little bit more, but each of them have, say, Taurus ruling the second house, ruled by Venus, okay? I don't want to complicate this first class too much with that, all right? But that's just what those little symbols are. And so I am, I have, and I connect. So we're still on that like inner bit. Fourth house is I care. I nurture, it's my home, it's your roots, your DNA, it's your family, okay? It's your ancestry, it's where you've come from, and it's the space that you are held in. Okay? And if we look at its opposite, which is the 10th house, it's your reputation, how you put yourself out there, what you go to achieve, often linked with your public relations, your job, the house of your career or your vocation, or just the general direction that you want to go with in life. And so those two work again as an axis where one is very much where you came from and the kind of the springboard that you jump off to achieve things, because your roots, the place that you belong in. And that doesn't necessarily mean the physical place that you've come from, but your home, the space that you call your own home, the people that you've created into your own family. That gives you this sense of nurturing, what you want to nurture in order for you to feel safe to project out. Okay, so they both work together. When we connect to the fifth house, I act or I shine. Okay, it's ruled by the sun, by Leo. And this is very much where you're joyful, where your creative pursuits come from, where your hobbies come from, what it is that you want to do, really the things that give you greatest pleasure, greatest joy, greatest fun, the games that you want to play. If you were to look at a child, their fifth house is very telling because it's how they play, right? And so if those of you that are on this course, I've given you some links to go and get to look up free charts. You can type it into astro.com. If you have kids or know of children and someone's willing to give you their birth details, or anyone actually, it doesn't have to be children, but if you get their birth time, you can look at their charts. And it's again, another way of looking at how everyone's energy plays out. And so from here, this is like what gives you the greatest pleasure. It's also romance, how you playfully connect with people. And so the 11th house, its mirror or its opposite, is what you aspire to share with others from this place of, this is my light, this is what I want to share with you. Okay, so you're aspiring to offer your light out into the collective. It's this place of exchange. It's like, this is the fifth house is very much to do with, ooh, this is how I like to play with my energy. It makes it shine, it makes it charge. But then I take that and I want to exchange and share with those out there, with collective, with friends, with groups, with my community. Okay, so the 11th house is very much to do with the collective, the movement and the engagement with many people. Okay, so whereas I was talking about the 7th house being to do with you and one other, the 11th house is to do with you and groups, how you connect with people in a group, how you engage with people in a group, and how you like to, the type of energy that you like to engage with in a group setting or amongst friends. Okay. And then the 6th house and 12th house axis. This is the 6th house is I serve. So if we take it back down to the bottom half of the chart, you've got all of who you are. Now, what do you do with that energy? So how do you formulate yourself? How do you serve on a daily basis? The very mundane service to life. So the 6th house is very much to do with everyday life, the ordinary everyday, the here, the now, the limited. It's very grounded. And so it's connected to Virgo. Okay, Virgo then is the tending to life, the very groundedness of being tending to life. And this mundane service also connects with your own routines, what time you get up at, the things you do on a regular basis. If you've got planets or particular elemental energy at the 6th house, it's very telling. What time do you get up at? If you have a fiery sign, you're going to be an early riser because that fire wants to really get you up and going. And so this is where we start to play with how energy engages with the houses. And so the 6th house is very telling to how you engage with an everyday life. Okay, the things, the habits that you do that make up the structure and the limitations of your life. And so if the 6th house is mundane, everyday, limited, the 12th house is your spiritual service. It's unbound. It's that limitless reality that you are. And so you are connected to your spiritual side. And that can't be defined. That is space, right? And that's why this first lecture is, the introduction is the end is the beginning. The 12th house is the end, but is it not the beginning? Because it's from all that you came from. And it is the womb space. It's where you go to when you die. It's where you're born from the womb. It's this connection to something far greater than all that you are. And so the spiritual service would be how you connect to meditation, how you connect to the dream realm. When you go to sleep, where do you go? Who knows? But that is what the 12th house relates to, because it's not tangible, okay? And so the subconsciousness is related to the 12th house, the deep subconsciousness, the connection to energy, your intuition, is connected to the 12th house. Now, intuition is connected with each of the houses, okay, because it plays out in different ways. But intuition to the undercurrents or the overcurrents, because it's the far greater out there house rather than the in here tangible related house. Okay. And so that's how you start to play with all 12 houses. Oh. My shared screen is gone again. So while I'm playing with putting this TV back on, any questions online or here in person?
It's a lot.
It is. It's a lot to kind of take on, of course. But that's why it's great to have a recording, hey? And you can replay that and connect to it often. All right. Sorry, guys online, just playing with getting this screen back up. And I will share the PDF, the slide on the platform as well, so that you've got it to look at. Everyone likes a cheat sheet. So it's always nice to have something that's there. And as we go throughout the course, we will expand further. So I know I offer you a million words a minute, but it's to just give you an idea of what it is. And as we go through each of the weeks, we'll start to piece it back to this. Next week, when we're engaging with fire, it's just fire. We're just zoning in on one element and really piecing that apart. And so even though today it's a lot, it will make sense when you start to build the elements into it, okay? And so there are the houses in a really good nutshell. So the chakras then, the chakras are the energy points in the body. And so we can allude to what they look like. There are these wheels, these vortex of energy that play in our body, okay? They are sacred geometry that overlap and engage. Like I said, it's a chakra is a wheel of energy that engages with the physical, with the energetic, with the emotional, and with the mental. And the chakras are found on the earth, and they're also found in your body. And so each of them, sorry, this TV keeps switching. I'm assuming most people have a little bit of a chakra awareness. Okay, yeah. Well, these are like things like the earth maps of chakras and things like that. It's basically stating that the earth is a living body and has energy vortexes that have particular pockets of energy that we can relate to as very similar to the chakras that we have in our bodies. So and so that's really how we start to relate to the chakras of the planet. There are many authors that have also expanded that and saying that each of the planets have chakras and relate to chakras. At the end of the day, it's energy, and we're just trying to link them. And so relating it more so to the chakras that we engage with. This is annoying. Technical issues on the first day. Let's try one more time. Keeps throwing my screen here as well. But we have the chakras, 7 spinal chakras. Okay, so the seven chakras that are on our spine, here we go, are the ones that most of us know about, okay? So you've got the base of the body, sacral chakra, the solar plexus, the heart, the throat, the brow, and the crown, okay? And so those seven spinal chakras relate to the endocrine system. So the organs in the body, the glands in the body, and they are so easily mapped to the emotions, to the body organs, to types of energy that we can really relate to, right? So the seven spinal chakras really map out very well with all of the other things that we connect to. Also got minor chakras, which some may be very aware of, particularly those that do energy work. You will notice that your hand chakras are often very turned on, okay? They connect to so much. Your hands are chakras that are constantly engaging with the energy, okay? Same with your feet, with your knees. The feet would really connect you to what it is that you're walking on, connecting to, whether you're in different terrain, different locations on the earth, and they help to really allow your energy to communicate with the land. Your ears, your eyes, your temples, all of these extra chakras that we have up around the head, they're adding on to, say, the ears connecting with the throat chakra. And so the throat chakra is all about expression, speaking, communication of up here and down here, of the mental processing and the emotional and physical processing. So the throat does a lot of filtering, but the ears also help that. Because when we stop and become silent, we start to hear a lot more, and it helps the processing so that we can communicate with greater clarity. Okay. Similarly with the eyes, the physical eyes are a constant engagement with energy, color, light, shadow. They also feed the pineal gland, which is also the brow, the third eye. And so they work together. Same with the causal chakra at the back of the head, reaching out here. And that really connects us to more intuitive. It's like an antenna. Think of it like a old-fashioned TV antenna sticking out at the back, and it just picks up extra signals, okay? And so that really helps to, with the mental perception, the visual intuition, it adds an extra layer of what it is that you're picking up on. And then the star points and the gateways. Once upon a time, I wrote a book, I never published it, but this was the topic that I was really focusing in on. It was more of a thesis, I suppose, so many words that I couldn't edit it down. But it looked at the star points and the gateways in relation to the chakras. And so this is where that idea of triality, not just duality, but where this play of three is constantly going on. So we have a soul star chakra, which would be our, you could almost call it your birth chart. It's this soul star mapping, where you've come from in this very moment in time. And it has to ground into something, into a location, which is this earth star. Okay, so it's like, this is your spirit, the soul star, and the earth is your physical. And those two have come in together through your heart. And that is what creates who you are. It's the very essence of what it is. And from there, it kind of plays out. You've got the stellar gateway, which would be, a lot of you have done journeys with me. When we go up and out, we're going up and out, connecting into the stellar gateway. And it allows us to expand beyond the physical and connect to something much more. Okay, and so we don't need that constantly open all day long, do we? Sometimes. But when we need to function on a regular basis, we don't need that constantly open. Okay, and so that's why when we bring ourselves grounding back down into earth and connecting into who I am my I am presence, the stellar gateway is there. It's like a plug. And you don't need to be constantly charged. Like, you don't need your laptop or your phone to constantly be charged. Once it's charged, then you can be mobile, Okay, and then when you need to replug back in, think of it like that. That connection is always there, but you don't need it always charged. Same with the Gaia Gateway. When we ground into the heart of Earth, we're connecting right in to the heart of Gaia. And that feeds our soul, feeds our body with so much intelligence, okay? The Navel Gateway, that's another third point where you're connecting to society, what you engage with on a regular basis. And it's this web of connection. So very, very much like the internet, it's this web of connection of energy that you're constantly engaged with. The Navel Gateway is where children come in through the umbilical cord. Okay, and so that's often seen, those that are clairvoyant or work with energy, this silver cord connects in through that Nahara or the Navel Gateway, that point where our energies meet. Okay, and so meet with another. So that would be the Navel Gateway. The Heart Gateway is it's something that we're very palpable and connected to. It is how we engage with ourselves, our spirit self, our oversoul, our, you know, big I am presence. And it relates on such a multidimensional level. The heart chakra is the core of all things. And so even though you might want to zoom out there, really the magic is going right into your heart. Okay, and that gateway opens you up to so much. And the mind gateway, very similar to the navel gateway, it's obviously more so at the brain on a mental level. Those that would be very clairaudience, clairvoyant as well, opening up the senses, you're starting to know something because you're tapping into this plane that exists at this level of perception. And it's going beyond what you hold on to, you know, so instead of it just being within your seven chakras that's engaging with you and your organs, it's tapping into something beyond. And so that would be the mental mind gateway. Okay. And so this is not my drawing, but it is amazing. I think it's really cool because it offers you an opportunity to understand how medical astrology works. It's a fascinating field. But basically, you start to map the astrological energy, whether it's the Aries ruling the head, the eyes, the muscular system, and it relates to Mars. Mars connects to the head, headstrong, the muscular system, your strength, your will. And so we go through the whole body and the chakras connecting to the zodiac and the planets. And so this is where the end becomes the beginning and you start to tie in how energy is really constantly playing with you and with your reality, with all the energy that you play with. So I'm not going to get too stuck into this. You can look at this as a reference point some more yourself. It's really good to just always have, particularly if you know your sun sign, for example, okay? I'll use myself as an example. My sun is in Taurus, so it connects to the throat. Okay, so you can see here, connects to the throat, connects to the neck, vocal cords, connects to the throat chakra, and your form of expression, right? Metabolic system. And so you start to tie in and relate to my expression, sun, comes through the throat, which is also expression. But how do I relate to my throat chakra? Because it's my expression, okay? So we'll each be able to look at our own charts to be able to piece that together and to understand, that's why I relate. Like I've, for a long, long time, been on a journey to awaken my throat chakra. I've been on sound ceremony courses to try get my voice out more. I love talking, so it's something that I love sharing information and expressing, and so it's something that I do shine at, but it's also something that I'm learning to become, because your sun is something you're here to learn to radiate as. You don't just arrive as your sun. Yes, you do, but your rising sign is what you really arrive as, and your sun becomes what you, well, that's me, my throat, but your sun is something you're learning to radiate as.
Okay.
And so, a little bit of time to wrap up with this chart, which is the chart of today. Okay, so this is the chart of our course, how we started the class today. And so if you have your own chart with you as well, you can relate it to the transiting energy that we're playing with as the language of energy that's connected here. All right, so this isn't gonna work for me, is it? All my screens here are playing around, so I don't know what's coming up. So what we can see from our chart of today, of this course, is the energetic print of this course. This is the energy we'll be dealing with for this entire course. And so as an astrologer, this is how I look at most things. You find the time and you check it out and say, oh, that was the energy that was playing out at that moment. Or if I'm doing a ceremony and I look at the time of our ceremony or the, say, for example, the new moon that we did the other day, I look at the new moon energy chart and I'm able to then talk from there. It becomes something, a map that you read from. Okay, and so I know this is a lot to take on as your first lecture, but this is where we're getting to learn to read your chart, your own chart. And so to familiarize yourself, this arrow here, again, this is the rising sign, okay? This is the sun sign. And this is the moon sign. And so when you can find your own chart, when you look at it on your own screen, you can find it. You can find maybe where the sun is on your own chart, which I've told most of you as well. I've told you that your sun sign is in your email. If you can also see your rising sign and your moon sign. So if you can try, just locate those on your chart. So if the energy of this today, of this course, with a Taurus rising, very practical, grounded, something that we're going to learn to embody. So this energy of learning to read our chart is something that we're learning to embody. The sun is in Libra, so it's very much, I purposely chose this date, obviously. Chose the Libra sun because I want us to learn to express our mind, our beautiful mind, and elevate our perception. Okay, so with the Libra sun. And the moon is in Scorpio. Okay, so having the Scorpio moon, it allows us to really dive deep beneath the surface of perception, to feel more than we can, to really face that ability to merge ourselves with energy, which is the Scorpio quality. Okay. And so using this chart as a map that you have, oh, sorry, guys, using this chart as a map that you have, why don't I turn on the lights so that you guys can see the charts that you have there. It gives you a little bit of an overview. The triangle that you've got down on the bottom, okay, that grid, just to let you know what that is, we won't be going into that in this course, but basically it gives you the aspects, how the planets in your chart talk to each other, okay? So we won't be going into that. But what it does is see this pattern of lines in the very central circle?
Yes.
They are the aspects. So that is how the sun talks to the rising sign. If you've got any particular line, say like a direct line, an opposition, a red line. An opposition is where one planet is opposite the other and they are directly talking to each other in an opposite way, okay? So I won't be going in too much into the aspects, but that's just to explain what that is. So this pattern in the very center, when you're looking at your own chart, that pattern in the very center can often give you a picture or there's a nice geometrical shape that comes out of it. And so if we go back to what we said in the presentation, everything is energy. Everything is geometry. Everything is a mathematical equation playing out this energy signature. And so that's what this central circle is. So really that's much deeper down the rabbit hole of astrology. but it is just also to let you know what that is rather than not knowing what it is. Then you've got you see the little boxes, you've got elements and modes. Down on the bottom, you've got, let me see, I think I've got a chart here. So these two little boxes here at the bottom, you've got elements and modes, okay? And so they give you, that's what we're gonna get into next week. So we're gonna look at elements and modes, and the elements are fire, earth, air, and water, and the modes are cardinal, which is outward, fixed, inward, and mutable, which is exchanging, okay? And then you've got a little key, a grid at the side, the top corner there, this one here at the top, not this one. Again, this gives you, are you guys online with me? So this one, this grid up the top gives you, you can read it, conjunction, opposition, trine. Again, that's just the aspects. But then you've got Aries, Taurus, Gemini. Okay, so that gives you the zodiac signs. And what that is showing you is the little glyph beside it. So when you look at Aries, you can see the little ram figure. Okay, similarly for Taurus, you've got the little circle with the semicircle on the top. So it's just giving you points of reference. So that when you look at your own chart and you say, oh, my rising sign is, it's a Taurus because it's the little circle with the semicircle on the top. And you go over to that grid and you can see what it is, okay? And so that gives you the zodiac and then it gives you the planets in that little colorful grid there, okay? So we will get into the planets more towards the end of the course. So I'm not really gonna try to confuse you with that now. Okay.
Just going back.
Yes.
The rising star on the chart.
The rising is, see that thick arrow at 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
That is your rising sign. Okay. So the rising sign isn't a planet. It isn't a movable point. It's the angle of your chart.
Right.
And to go into the angles, the four thicker lines that are on your, let me go back. The four thicker lines that are on your chart, cutting your chart in four, they're called your angles, okay? And so they really make a big difference on your personality. They're very strong points of your personality. Rising sign being I am, the way you come out into the world. The one down on the bottom at 6 o'clock or thereabouts is your home. It's how you relate internally to things. So again, it relates to the fourth house, okay? This angle here at the 3 o'clock position, it relates to your projections. So the seventh house, okay? So it just, because these are main points in our life. How do we deal with ourselves, our inward life, dealing with others? And the top one is how you deal with public life or your life direction, okay? So they're the angle lines. Whereas the planets are movable planets. Okay, so just to close and recap, everything is connected. Everything is energy. And perception is paramount. We're always curious and always evolving. And so with that, over the course of the week, your homework that I just want to let you wash over with you for the next week before we join together next week is to think of the concept of space, of ether, of everything that is connected to everything. How do you relate to that? Where does that play out in your life? Okay, it's not so tangible, right? It's not something tangible. Space is not tangible. It's not earth, it's not fire, it's not water, and it's not air. So what is it? Is it your senses? Do your senses connect you to space? So when you're sitting, and maybe you have a moment where you're sitting down having a cup of tea and you're looking out over a view, what is that connecting you to? Yes, you've got your view of what you're seeing, but that's your vision. So that's more to do with color. So that's more fire, right? But the space is what's held in that space. So it connects you to your memories. So that moment that you're sitting and meditating, maybe it triggers a memory and that comes up to the forefront and it connects your past to this moment. Or when you're sitting there, all of a sudden you're dreaming about something else or your mind is wandering to something else. Yes, that's air, but it's now projecting you into another space. So you can see how space is constantly connecting you with the elements. Can you find those little loops in your space where you're constantly connected from one thing to another in time? And then how that engages with your chakras. So that's just really checking in with the energy that you're playing with. Where in your body are you playing with energy? How, when you're engaging with things, is it altering how you feel and how you engage with the ether, with the space that you're engaging with? A riddle. I love riddles. And so, yeah, next week we're going to connect in with the elements, go a little bit more into the elements and into the element of fire. Okay. So before we conclude, sorry for any of the technical issues, but anyone online, you can unmute yourself if you'd like. I kind of open it up to offer some questions, and you don't have to have questions that need to be answered today, right now. Maybe you text them or email them to me, then we can also share them on Telegram, or I can share them in the beginning of next week's class as well. We don't have to have the answer right now, but please share anything, ask anything in particular that you'd like. I'm here.
I just asked you when you said that the course work, you chose this particular time and day. So you can actually, because I've always thought that it's something, the planets aligning, you can't really predict how they're going to be. But can you?
Yes. Astrology can be predictive in the sense of you know where the planets are moving. And so therefore, you know, we can prepare ourselves for the type of energy that's coming down the track, but not predictive into how it's going to play out. Many of you sat in that time in 2019, where we sat in that ceremony with the conjunction of Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter. And we talked about how, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but there is big change coming. And we speculated on the different types of change that we're going to experience, because there were big planets going through huge change. And they played out in a way that massively altered society. But we couldn't necessarily pinpoint that. So to answer your question, for a project, for, you know, doing something where you want to engage with a type of energy, yes, you can foresee by looking at this type of energy, particularly say the moon is going to be in blah, blah, blah. I would prefer to my course so that I can relate to the emotional energy, with that energy, with that quality, elemental quality. Whereas for me, choosing today to start the course in Libra season with the Libra new moon, was because that was the seed that I was planting for you, for me, of opening up the mind. Cardinal air is Libra. Libra is all about, you know, learning to harmonize with what you relate with. And so it really just goes hand in hand with what I'm trying to share in this course. Any other questions? Did that answer it?
Yeah. And my other question is, there's a lot of talk about the 20th of October.
The 20th of October is the full moon, right?
Everybody's saying there's going to be something major. Lots of planets going with
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of planets in retrograde at the moment. It does happen. And we'll get into that more when we talk about each of the planets, because again, it comes down to your perception, how you perceive the astrology energy, how you engage with that. Sometimes it's like really exciting to know what's coming down the track. But also sometimes you can listen in and feel this energy yourself. And so with six planets in retrograde, the big planets that move really slowly spend most of their time, most of their cycle in a retrograde. So it's good, but what it's only offering to us is a window to be more reflective, because a retrograde period is a yin period. It's a cycle where instead of being like out, we're more inward and focusing on how that type of energy is playing within our perspective. And so having more planets in retrograde really just means it's a deeply reflective time. So yes, many things can change because our perspective has got an opportunity to go within.
The opposite to retrograde
is indirect. It is direct. It's in direct motion. And so that means that the planets are seen as constantly moving in their normal time frame. And so when the planets are direct, they act out the way they normally do, which is their expression, which is yang. Your expression is yang. It's what you put out there. And so the retrograde period is just a moment where they're less outward focused and more inward focused. Really the main ones to focus on when planets go into, it is pretty cool when there are that many planets in retrograde all at the same time. It creates a quality of energy that we play with. I'm not so much a doomsdayer, so I don't see it as being a negative. It's an opportunity though for great change, because it's calling for a lot of inward reflection on a collective level. Because the big planets that move slowly, they are collective. They kind of work as social planets. So when social planets are on retrograde mode, they're asking for society to go more reflective. And then when they go direct, it's like, okay, now it's an opportunity to move with whatever it is you've been learning and to take that energy and start to work with it. The ones that I would focus on when it comes to understanding the retrogrades, though, would be more so Venus and Mercury. They do 3, sometimes 4 retrogrades a year for a few weeks. And it's a good, nice, concise time. Pluto can be in retrograde for a few months, so can Jupiter. So, you know, the bigger planets, they move slower. They can be in retrograde for 6 weeks to 3 months. It really depends on how they're moving. So Mercury and Venus, when they move slower, like Mercury is in retrograde, and it's a popular one online to talk about. It's 3 weeks. It's about a 3-week period where it's in retrograde. And if Mercury is all about the mental perception, our ways of communication, our ways of connecting, it's on retrograde, so it's on how are we reflecting, how are we connecting, how are we relating, how are we communicating. Okay, so it's really just, it's asking us to be more reflective rather than expressive. And then it's a full moon. Everything gets heightened at the full moon. Ask any ER doctor or nurse and they'll tell you that it's always a bit crazy at full moon.
Yeah.
It's also an Aries moon. And so Aries, I suppose, is the energy of the spark. And a lot of people like to go into Aries being rage and anger and, you know, that real, it's real base level energy of Aries. I'm waffling now, anyone online, sorry. but that Aries energy is, he's so much more than that, like headstrong, first on the scene, warrior, fighting mentality. Aries is also pure spirit. It's childlike, it's innocence. It's that spark of life, okay? So like we started this lecture, it's not a flat line of polarity and one energy versus the other. They are on a spectrum and those energies play out in a myriad of different ways depending on how they're relating to their environment and how they're connecting with others. Or yourself, you know, it depends. So if there's an Aries moon coming up, you can check where it's going to land on your chart. Say, oh, that's not going to bother me so much. Or, oh, that's going to hit my first house. I might really feel that when it comes to my immediate reaction and response to things. And you start to play with, that's how we play with the language. So there's no point in me trying to throw everything at you in this first class, but it gives you an idea of how we start to put these building blocks together and language how, say, a full moon coming up, where is it going to hit on your chart? What house is that? Or is it related to a planet that happens to be in Aries? Or just how is it engaging with you? And how are you going to respond to that? So that's how you, as an astrologer, how you start to put it together. But you're not here to learn to become an astrologer. You're just here to learn how to better perceive the energy that you're playing with and what's playing out there. Okay, so. All right, well, enjoy. Thank you so much. I'll say goodbye to everyone online. Double check that there's no other questions. Thank you so much to everyone who joined and stayed with me online. Sorry about any of the little glitches. The recording will be popped up into the platform, so you can just find it there for replay as often as you need, and I'll add the PDF as well. I will send out an email at some point tonight with just a reminder of all those links. But yeah, enjoy the rest of the week, and I will see you all next week for fire.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Danielle. Bye.